there's just enough chill in the air, some dust, and some diesel exhaust, but I love it because it means it's harvest time. The bins are all cleaned out, or at least they should be. The service techs are all highly caffeinated, and it's time to get to it. And we're coming along for the ride. Welcome to the Harvest Trail Podcast, where we're going to meet up with the heroes of the harvest and tell their stories, in hopes that when we're done, we're all a little smarter. And now to the show. Welcome back to the Harvest Trail Podcast. We are joined by my very good friend, Heath Laker, Laker Farm Equipment, Rushville, Indiana. What is the weather in Rushville, Indiana at current, Heath?
Overcast and damn cold.
Really? I'm assuming you've had a freeze so far, right?
Yes, sir. We've even had a snow at this point.
Yeah? It was good. Okay, so where are we at in harvest? I'm assuming beans wrapped up?
Locally, beans 80% done.
Yeah.
Corn 20%. And you don't have to go very far south, and nobody started yet.
Really?
So we've got them all over the board.
Really? So you've got customers that are almost close to being done, and then you've got other customers that haven't started.
Yes, sir.
You could have them just loan their equipment north to south, right?
Well, given the market, that may not be a bad idea.
I'm almost done with it. I'm going to send it your way. It's like when you rent the carpet cleaner from the grocery store. Well, I've got it for this number of hours, and I'm only going to need it two. You can have it the rest. Let me ship my combine down there. You know, what a crazy season. It's amazing because west of you, I feel like harvest started and is almost done and has just not slowed down an inch. But yours is really a little bit more complicated, huh?
Yes, sir.
So what's causing that problem? Weather, people, and crops?
Weather mostly, yes. You always have the stragglers. But weather here has been very dry. We ran greater than a month, really, with no rain delay. But we cover such a wide swath in southern Indiana and northern Kentucky that you always have guys that got rain when you didn't and couldn't run when you could. So just have a wide array of people harvesting this year.
What are you seeing by way of conditions? I mean, you're saying it's dry, so I'm assuming that crops are coming out of the field pretty dry. I'm imagining it's awfully dusty. How's this translating into field conditions for you?
Field conditions, beans, yes, we are very, very dry. We're down 7-8% most of the time, and no green mog at this point. Corn, on the other hand, it's getting drier, but we've been kind of cool. So we're still running high teens to low 20s with it.
Now, are your guys harvesting, pulling it off, putting it through the dryer, selling it off someone who wants a higher moisture crop, or is it just a waiting game right now?
I would say majority of our guys are running it through the dryer with corn anyway.
Yeah. Well, so take us back in time through the year. How did we get here? How did we start the year? How did we hit planting dates and stuff like that? And what is that translating into? How did the year start off for you?
Planting dates, we were a little bit delayed. We had a very wet spring. Very, very little was done in late April. More got started, I would say, mid-May. Stayed with some really consistent, nice rains through the rest of May. And then June, it just turned off. Yeah. On our farm, we had 3/10 the whole month of June up to the 10th of July. July, we got some rain later. August was about normal. And then mid-September on, we're we couldn't buy a ring. It doesn't matter how much money you had.
Yeah. Goodness. So now as we stand in harvest now, what are you hearing in terms of yields? What have you seen on your own operation with yields?
Well, I don't want to talk about our beans. They didn't yield what I had hoped.
Unmentionable.
But most of our customers, close to, if not a bumper crop in beans.
Huh.
Not really sure where it came from, but very pleased. Corn, I would say better than average, maybe not a bumper crop, but definitely better than average. I haven't heard much under an average of 200 bushel an acre with it.
Now, you've got some new equipment out on some of these farms. Did you get a chance to start anyone up with a Fendt Momentum planter this year?
Started two Momentum planters this year.
Excellent. Excellent. And so have you got a chance to get out and see, you know, a big pitch of that product is the enhanced ability of, you know, not only getting in the ground, but the agronomic environment where the seed is put and eliminating some pinch rows and things like that. Have you had a chance to get out and see the fruits of your labor?
On one of them, yes, we have. Started out a little rocky, had a few electrical issues. After we got that ironed out, that particular customer has said that he would be looking for potentially two more Momentum planters if they could be gotten. So he is started out hating it, ended up loving it to the point where I think those machines will be very predominant on their farm in the near future.
Wow. There's certainly a curve to getting started, but you don't get a better endorsement than repeat purchase.
Yes, sir.
So when do you think things are going to wrap up locally for you?
I would say if we don't get any rain next week, which is dwindling, I'm going to say we probably have 2 to 3 weeks of corn harvest left around here.
Yeah.
When I say that around here, that would be very local. When we get south, we'll have guys, they'll be running well into the Thanksgiving weekend, maybe after.
Yeah, wow. So that's when the real fun starts. You're going to start taking combines and planters in to do the overwinter maintenance, or at least you'd like to have them early so you can start scheduling them and working on them. What type of things are you going to be doing to combines? What do you want to let farmers know about working on their planters? What type of benefit do they get getting the products into you early?
Big benefit is getting in before the weather turns bad, keeping the machines clean off the salty roads, something you people in the South don't have to worry about.
We don't know anything about that. Salt is for margaritas down here.
PM360 program, so a lot of our customers get a financial benefit of getting in early, getting their machine inspected. A lot better chance of having the parts still on the shelves through harvest or actively getting them without back orders. And then for us, it's a chance to get them checked out, stay busy through the winter months where things might be a little slower and get it back home to them and their shed and feel a little better about their investment.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got plenty of room to do it now. How are you filling out that cavern of a new building over there?
There's plenty of empty rooms. We're thinking about renting them out by the night, maybe open a hotel.
I'm going to come back there and you're going to be in the local jail for running a house of ill repute. But you really have used
when times get tough, you got to do what you got to do.
You got to do what you got to do. You really did free up a lot of parts and service area with that beautiful brand new building right out there on the highway. So tell me last time I was there, we were moving parts. But so how, where you at now? How's all that coming together? Because for those who have not been out to your shop, it is, I was joking. It's a campus. I mean, it is. It's a lot of buildings over a lot of area, and so how's that project coming? I know that's a big one.
It's we're still moving parts every day. Majority of our parts, all fast moving parts, I would say, are in the new facility. We had, or still have, 6 buildings on 18 acres around here. So we're finding a lot of things that maybe we've lost over the years, or finding a new home for them as we start moving things. But we're getting along very well. I think we've got some glitches behind us with phone system, internet. We're not running around with our head cut off trying to locate parts in 3 different buildings. A lot of positive feedback from customers. So we're enjoying it very much.
So tell me this, what is the best or most notorious treasure that has been unearthed at Lakers Farm Equipment in the past couple of weeks as you dig through things?
Don't know if there's been a best or most notorious, but it seems like we're finding a lot of old conventional combine parts and old Alice parts that maybe weren't on record.
Yeah. You know, you could be a hero in some of these collectible groups. You know, these guys that are out running Fs and Ks and Gs, you might end up saving their bacon.
We very well might.
So now tell me this, are you going to get some of those parts out there, get them on your system?
We have added several back to the system, but I won't lie to you, there's been some that may have found their way back to the scrap pile.
Just possibly found their way. You need to have an open house with like a tent or something, a tent event, and everybody can come in and pick up their parts for their L2.
There you go. You can fit it in the bed of your truck, 20% off.
We never have to see it again. It's 20% off. I remember going through a dealership with a friend of mine, and he had an old storage room, and we went in, and he had a wheel of discounts. And, like, you'd spin this wheel to determine your discount. Those really were the good old days, weren't they? You know, it's like, well, you know, how do we get to a price on this one? Well, you know, I've got this wheel. Oh, looks like you're only going to get free oil changes.
I'd like that for ordering new equipment.
Yeah. 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 That's kind of a nice way to talk with your territory guys. Like, well, how much is the price going to go up next year? You know, you can always go both ways though, you know, sometimes when I see prices, I think that's how it's determined.
Kind of feels that way.
No, there's a very sophisticated system to it. We'll be doing it in this room behind a closed door, and you hear, okay. And the price is. So as people, you know, people are getting finished up and having it should be a pretty good season for a lot of people. You said like your farmers are coming in with pretty good yields for the most part. Prices are good. What do you got to sell them? What's a great investment? You know, you had a lot of good equipment out there last time I was there. I know everyone's struggling with supplies of new stuff from the manufacturers. But if somebody came in next couple of weeks and said, Heath, what do you got to help make things a little easier, take me to the next level next year, make the process on the growing season a little bit more enjoyable? What do you got to sell them?
I hope they like 100 horse and down tractors on their farm, because that seems to be about the predominant thing left on the lot.
Well, and there's a big place for those for a lot of people to mow the ditches, move some things around, there's particularly if you've got some sort of livestock or operation like that, there's certainly a place. And you've got some of those are quite nice tractors. You got one that's a favorite of yours?
I'm still a little partial to a few of our older ones, but I would say it's kind of hard to beat the luxuriousness of the new Fendt tractors on the lot.
Oh yeah,
they're a cool toy to play with.
Yeah, well, you get in there and you put it over in foot pedal mode, and it drives like a sports car. You don't even appreciate you're in a tractor unless you look down and see wheels. But it is a completely different tractor experience, isn't it?
It is. It's unlike anything anybody's ever driven before.
Yeah. Now, do you have a lot of you have a lot of livestock around where you're at?
Less and less every year.
Yeah.
Not much that I would say you're going to sell to a livestock farm. You're going to have more of the hobby livestock farmers at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it seems to be much a very changing era that you're seeing less and less 100 head feed operations or 100 head dairies. That it tends to be one of these things. While it's awesome to come across those, incredibly charming, but it's not easy for those folks. They put a lot of their heart and soul into keeping those operations going, and when it's just too much, I understand when many of them say, you know, I'm just going to go to grain only or that sort of situation.
Yes, sir.
Well, as you finish up with the year here and moving into next year, tell me about the dealership's strategic plan for acquiring or liquidating your massive Alice Chalmers collection. What's for sale and what are you buying?
Everything's for sale.
At the right price, everything. Do you have the Alice Chalmers refrigerator yet?
I do not. We have a few little motorbikes, chainsaw, things like that. But
yeah.
No, we do not have an Alice Chalmers.
There's a refrigerator. I know there's a refrigerator. You know, there's an iron lung. There's an Alice Chalmers iron lung that's out there that you can buy. I mean, I don't know why you'd want to, but if you're a very, very avid collector, yeah, Alice Chalmers made iron lungs, and the generators in the Hoover Dam are made by Alice Chalmers.
Yes, sir.
Any plans on collecting one of those? You know, with these new with the new buildings.
I don't see that on the horizon.
Yeah, you know, you've got the size, though.
We pretty well stick with Alice tractors, and that's about it.
You know what, though, with the big open service bays that you have now, and you do own a truck, there's few people who could collect a dam generator as easily as you could. And you know what you could do with it is, you know, Dale at Mayer's. He's got a tractor in his living room. You know, you've seen that? You've seen the picture?
I've seen pictures of it, yes.
You know what he doesn't have in his living room?
He doesn't have a generator.
A generator, a turbine, or an iron lung. And I bet that if you did that, and your wife does not throw you out, that you could send him a picture, and he'd be horribly jealous.
Well, maybe we could see what that's worth to him if I could come up with it.
Everything.
It might be one of those things that's for sale for the right price.
everything's for sale. Well, listen, I'm glad that things are going smooth. And I encourage anybody listening, if you have not been by Laker's new facility, it really is something special. Classic tractors up front. What's in the front lobby right now? You had the cardboard under it, not to mess up the floor. What did you have parked in there just the other day?
We have a 1967 restored Alice Chalmers D21.
Oh, and it's a beauty. It's a beauty, too. So for all of you listening, if you happen to find yourself near Rushville, Indiana, go in and see. You will not be disappointed to see a thoroughly beautiful, modern facility, but also a lot of respect to the heritage of the great Laker family and the heritage of the great brands that they sell. Heath, as always, I love having you on the program.
Appreciate it very much, Jeff.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. I know I did. I also hope you'll keep tuning in for more insight, discussion, maybe a few laughs. And if you'd like to join us on the program and tell us about your harvest, just send us a message by connecting with us on social media. The Harvest Trail Podcast is a production of Agricultural Dealers United and brought to you by some of the best dealers in the business. You can find previous episodes on your favorite podcast platform or at theharvesttrailpodcast.com. The show's produced by Rich Williams, and I'm your host, Jeff Michaels. Until next time, may your bins overflow and the fuel bill stay reasonable. May the bean dust stay on the outside of the cab and the stalk stay out of the tires. And may someone else have to blow out the radiator. Have a great, safe, enjoyable, and bountiful harvest from all of your friends right here at the Harvest Trail Podcast.